Welcome to Finally Alive Radio with pastoral counselor Gary Harris. To find out more, please go to finallyaliveradio.com.
All right, so we've been talking about conflict and the two different types of conflict. Go through them really quickly. We won't take too long on these. There's a healthy and unhealthy kind of conflict, and we've got to realize we're just going to deal with conflict in life. You can't help it. It's just part of life. Trying to avoid it actually makes it worse. So two types of conflict. Start with the ungodly or the unhealthy. If you guys remember, it's number one is it's abusive, right? Nothing good comes of it. Unhealthy, ungodly. The purpose is just to hurt. There's no resolution in the hurting or to hurt. Very reactionary. There's always going to be a lack of any type of acceptance. There's just no acceptance, no type of understanding at all. It's the idea of my way or no way. And of course, there's caveat of God, and that's a different kind of my way or no way because his ways are right. So he gets the exception. No one else does. Remember, it's all emotions based. That's the key thing here, is it's all emotions based, purely emotional. And it's absolute selfishness. All right, that's the last piece of that. So it's totally prideful. Flip side is the healthy or the godly type of conflict, or how we deal with it. There's always going to be disagreements. There's always arguments. That's normal. That's okay. Arguments are fine. There's also the transition type of conflict, right? Where life, we're growing up, or adolescent to adulthood, all those kinds of things. Loss and or defeat. Those are tough, but it's conflict. It's part of life. It's part of growing. It's part of maturing. In dealing with conflict in a healthy way, there's always going to be the logic aspect. When we can start to get logical again, we can start to resolve. And that's the key thing about conflict, is finding resolution. All right. And then it's always going to have at least an aspect of humbleness, if not a lot of humbleness. Something bad happens, going to the Lord and asking, all right, God, well, I don't understand why this is happening, but help me through it. Let me understand this thing. I don't understand what you're doing here. I'll give you a really good example. So I met a person, and they're an evangelist. They are in a wheelchair, had a stroke about 2 years ago, and in a wheelchair, can barely get up, if not really, they really can't get up. Can't use, I think, their right hand, I think it is. And asked him, hey, I mean, okay, you're in a wheelchair. That's got to be horrible, right? I mean, that just got to be so tough, right? That's the first thing that comes to my mind. They said, are you kidding me? This is the best thing that ever happened to me. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? How is this the best thing that ever happened to you? They said, well, you got to realize I'm an evangelist. When I used to go out on the streets and talk to people, they wouldn't listen to me. But now I show up with a wheelchair and I have a crowd. I'm like, oh my goodness, what a way to look at this whole situation. Now, I'm not saying that that's the way I would look at it, but the guy's an evangelist. So perception is everything, I think, right there, right? And then the other thought that comes to my mind is, wow, how in tune with the Lord do you have to be to not care about walking? Because I don't think about walking, but thank God, you know, I can walk, right? But anyway, in his case, I don't care. I'd rather not walk. I just want to preach the word. I want to do God's will. Oh my goodness, wow. Kind of envy that. So again, look at the perception. Look at how he dealt with his conflict in his life. He humbled himself, and it wasn't about what I have or what he had. Because I can naturally see any of us, me included, saying, oh my gosh, it's so unfair. I can't believe this. Why would this happen to me? I can already see myself going there just naturally. And I think maybe most of us would. But again, perception, right? Perception. So something to think about. Something to think about. Could there be an underlying or a silver lining in what you're going through even today? Just something to think about, right? Anyway, so humbleness is necessary. Remember the aspect of violence. And I bring this up again because I had initially put that under the unhealthy. And then God, I think, woke me up there and said, no, violence is not unhealthy. Violence is a neutral word, like the word gun. So something to be aware of. Anyway, so let's go to Genesis chapter 6. I think that's where we left off here. Finished up Genesis chapter 4. So Genesis 6, and we will be talking about the violence today. Probably most of the time we're together here. So Genesis 6:1, we'll continue on with this. When man began to multiply in the face of the land, and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of man were attractive, and they took as their wives any they chose. Already an interesting sentence there. They just took the wives as they chose. So normally, there would at least be some sort of negotiation. That's just the way it was back then. I don't hear much negotiation going on. They just took it. That's piece one to our conflict, okay? Is that a conflict? Yeah, I think so. It's a fair enough conflict. Verse 3, then the Lord said, my spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh, his days shall be 120 years. Verse 4, the Nephilim, or the giants, were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of man, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. And we know the whole story of the Nephilim. You read the book of Enoch and get a whole bunch of background on that. In a nutshell, if you remember, they're not supposed to be doing this. That's not their job. They're here for a whole different purpose. And here they come. They come together, the sons of God, saying, hey, let's create a pact here and let's kind of do our own thing. I know God wants us to do something else, but we're going to do this, our own thing. In fact, let's run the show. Let's do it our way. Okay, that's the sons of God's idea. And you get a whole bunch of background where they teach them technology, weaponry, and all those kinds of fun things. And then the icing on the cake, I guess, is they lay with human women, which was not part of the contract. They weren't supposed to do that. But that's their way of trying to take over, right? They're going against God's will, clearly. All right, so that you guys know the background there. So the Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. Interesting, they even had a name for themselves. They were the renowned men. Verse 5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Verse 5 is the verse that you've got to have that in the center of your brain right now, okay? Because everything lies on that for what we're talking about. Verse 6, and the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So let's talk about our conflict. Well, what do we have? We have sons of God, Nihil Elohim, show up for a different contract and come and do something that they're not supposed to. And then on top of that, they go and, let's just call it destroy. They destroy mankind, right? They start to mess with the DNA, if you will. Were they supposed to do that? No, there's no intermingling. There's no intermingling of celestial and human flesh. You don't do that. Wasn't part of the contract. You're doing something clearly against God, aren't you? No question. Conflict? Good enough to give you the painting there, conflict? How do you deal with this? And remember, what was the verse I told you to have in the center of your brain right now? Verse 5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Why is that so important? Because that is the most extreme we can go. It's one thing to have evil, impure thoughts, but to be only evil continually, we got an issue, right? Does that make sense? Conflict? So let's deal with this conflict. What do we do with a people only evil continually? That sounds to me like there's no ifs, ands, or buts. That sounds like there's no room for negotiation. There's no understanding in that case, right? We're not going to sit and come together, hug it out. Jesus will fix this. No. Only evil continually. No ifs, ands, or buts. Fair? How do you deal with a conflict like that? The answer is right there. So let's go to verse 6, I think I'll repeat. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So here's how, let's say God, in this case, right? He's the one who has to deal with this conflict, right? It's his earth and it's his people. So this is normal. This is what we go through, okay? In the sense of grieving, we're going to grieve. Remember part of the healthy side of conflict? You're defeated. You'll grieve. Loss, right? Loss, you grieve. Is there a loss here? Yeah, you grieve. And you've got to go through your grief. And that's normal. You're human. You've got to grieve. In fact, let me say this. People who have tried to skip the grieving process will have to go through it for the rest of their life and they don't even know it. That's the worst part. So when we do go through loss, grieve. Okay, go through it, cry it out, do what you've got to do. You'll be in that state for a while, come out of it, and you will come out of it in due time, right? But you've got to grieve. So that's piece one there. But notice what he does. After he's done grieving, if you will, he comes to you with a resolution. This is how you deal with conflict. Whether you like it or not, you will have to deal with it. Without going to verse 7 yet, let's say God said, well, I'm going to grieve my heart. I'm just going to sit here and lie. I'm just going to be sad. I'm just going to sit here and watch my creation fall apart. Because I'm all loving and I can't do anything bad. I just love them so much. What would happen next? Would Jesus be born? Because that's the point of all this right now. All of this is leading to Jesus, obviously, right? Would Jesus ever be born if he just sat and, oh, I'm just going to sit in my grief and I love them so much. And just, you can hear the violins in the background, right? I'm not trying to be insensitive, but trying to give you a good painting here. Would we be here? Maybe, but on the other side, right? Is that fair to say? We'd be here, right? But on the wrong side. We'd probably have tainted DNA, right? Is this fair? I mean, I'm trying to give you guys a good picture here. But that would mean God would not deal with the conflict. He would just sit by and not find any kind of resolution. Just sit there in his grief because I'm all loving and I'm all sweet. And I'll wait until you want to negotiate, sweetheart. No. Remember our verse. Verse 4, I think it was. Only evil continually. That is the key part of this. So I want you guys to see it's an extreme case. Okay, so here's your verse 7. After he's done grieving. Verse 7, so the Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land. Man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens. And I like how he breaks that down because that's exactly what he says in chapter 1, right? The whole list of them, all of it. For I'm sorry that I had made man, or I had made them. Now to the, 21st century man bun, wearing society, that sounds mean. That's so harsh. Why would you kill them all? Maybe there's some good ones in there. How do you know they're all bad? We should sit down and talk to all of them. But we just got done saying, let me read it again. It's that last part for you. Was it? No, it wasn't verse 4, was it? It was verse 5. Every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This is the extreme case in the sense of conflict. And this is where violence comes in. In fact, we can actually say that this is the second time where violence has come in. Remember Cain and Abel? There was some violence there. What's the difference? Violence. But we have Cain, and then we have God here in chapter 6. Are they the same kind of violence? They're both violence. In fact, they both have killing. They both have that in common. What was the difference between Cain and between God's way? In fact, I'll pack on the heat here for you. Cain, at least you can say Cain only killed one person. God wants to kill the entire creation. Oh, what kind of a God is that if he's all loving? What is the difference? Let's think of the conflict. Remember the two, the healthy and the unhealthy. What did Cain do and why did he do it? Remember, what was the key thing that tells you the difference is the intention, right? Where are we going with this? Why did Cain do it? Cain did it because he didn't deal with his own problems. And in fact, the best part was God shows up with his wonderful counsel and says, deal with your issue because sin is lying at the door. All right? You can do this. You can figure this thing out. Don't go where I know where you're going. All right? Don't do that. What did he do? Purely emotional, right? Purely emotional. Did he fix anything with killing his brother? Absolutely nothing. In fact, he ended up destroying. And that's the key thing with violence on this side, is it's destruction and it is always selfish. You will see this even in time. You will see this with Hitler. You'll see this with Mao. You'll see this with all of them. With all the ones who destroyed, used violence for what? Really for their own gain, generally, right? Emotional, it destroys. And it's not just a destruction, but there's a selfishness. Now, what about God? Was his an irrational, emotional movement? No, it wasn't. I'll tell you why. Because it tells me he grieved. So he dealt with his emotions. There. Okay, there you go. So he's dealt with his emotions. So this is not him being illogical and being emotional. No, this is him being very rational. And let's go back to intent. Does he have an intention with what he's doing? Absolutely he does. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's very calculated. God is perfect. You guys know that already. Was it emotional? Nope. Destruction? Yeah, there was destruction, but was it selfish? Well, you're sitting here today and you're saved by the blood of the Lamb. Sounds like a lot of it was for you too. Fair? So no, not selfish. He actually loved us. Wow, what quite a twist there, huh? So what about his motive? Let me throw it back on you for a second. Let's go through our list here. Disagreement, obviously. Clearly there's an argument here. Loss, he dealt with his loss. Was he logical? Totally logical. What's the difference? When God ever uses violence, there's always a purpose. There's always a direction. There's always intention, intentional. Let's use kind of our own two different kinds of violence. I'll give you two different scenarios. Robber goes to someone's home and violently kills a woman and steals her stuff. violence. Yep. Same situation. Robber goes to someone's home, attempts to kill a woman, and the woman stabs him to death. Both violence. What was the difference? One was for selfish gain, the robber. The other one was for preservation. You guys see that? So with that all said, what was God doing here? So the Lord said, verse 7, I will blot out man who I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. So he is ready to kill everything on earth. Why? Because you can't negotiate with pure evil. There's no negotiation. Violence is necessary. Like we said, violence, it's a neutral thing. It depends on who is using the violence. Cain or God or Israel, or when you're defending yourself, or when you're defending your country. Why would you use violence when you're defending your country? What are you doing? Well, you're trying to preserve something, trying to save something. What did God do sending his one and only son? How could you go and kill your own son? Well, number one, he knows he's going to rise again in 3 days. Let's start there. But what did he preserve? Well, he gets his kids back, doesn't he? And there's no way to undo what Jesus did. Act of violence? Yep. Totally necessary. So that said, we have to see violence as not as a bad thing or a good thing. It just depends on the context. Context will tell you everything. Which leads me to this thought, as I'm just kind of thinking about even church life and Christianity. I think part of the reason Christianity is losing, it's losing. The messages are more watered down, seeker-friendly, purpose-driven you kind of messages. I think that's a part of this is when we take out the aspect of violence, and part of the violence is men, because men are the one who are really usually the most violent. I mean, even jails, I think, are, I want to say 80% men, if it's not more. So what happens when you attempt to take away the idea of violence, or violence is just bad? When we just label it, violence is bad, what happens? You get weak messages. You get churches that are weak, who cannot stand up, who won't stand up. In fact, they will think that their fight is simply love everyone. Just love everybody. I'm not against love. You guys understand that. But love when it's appropriate, but also act violent when it's appropriate. When, here we go again, the intention of the thoughts of their heart is evil, only evil continually. There is no negotiation with that. Do you see the difference? I think you guys see the difference. Let me say it this way. As a Christian, is violence off the table for us? It can't be. It can't be. In fact, can I say it like this? It better not be. I'm not saying that's the first thing we go to. But if I'm going to deal with pure evil continually, and that's all that they're thinking, there's no negotiations. And again, the easiest example is someone trying to rob you. Someone, God forbid, trying to rape. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. You better be very violent. You better be extremely violent. The crazy better come out. Does that make sense? Because what are you doing? You are preserving. Do you see? All leads right back to that. So back to conflict. Unfortunately, it's necessary. Violence is necessary. I don't like it. I'll be honest. I don't like violence. I prefer peace. But I can't take violence off the table, and neither will God. He won't. If he took violence off the table, we wouldn't have Jesus today. Just speaking of Genesis 6, only Genesis 6. We wouldn't have us doing church today. No, we can argue and say, well, God's God and he can make things happen. Yeah, but he's also not going to violate certain things. He still wants his earth to be earth. And, oh, by the way, here's the silver lining for you, verse 8. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. So is God a completely unjust God? He doesn't care? Well, what if there was one on earth? Yeah, there was one. Noah. Noah and his family. That was the only ones. If God was a tyrant, if God was this horrible, mean, disgusting, you know, fill in the blank, a God who wouldn't be understanding, he'd just wipe it all out, wouldn't he? Wipe it all out. I don't care. I'm not even going to listen to you. No, God didn't do that. He knew at least one family who was willing. And in fact, I like how it says it here. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And if you keep reading, what does that mean? How do you find favor in the eyes of the Lord? Well, how about you get a message? Hey, go and build a giant boat. Wait, what? Wait, number one, what's a boat? And why do you need a boat? What's this boat all about? Well, here are the dimensions. Well, what do you mean? Big flood, huge flood. What's a flood? Wait, what's going on? Wait, what? A flood? We've never had floods. What are you talking about? What is a flood? How does that work? Don't worry about it. Handle it. Here are the measurements. Go make it. This is going to take me forever. I know. Well, what am I going to do? Everyone's going to talk crap. They're going to give me all kinds of stuff. I know. Deal with it. Conflict. Here's some more conflict for you. How do you find favor with God? You just do as he asks. Is it comfortable? No, a lot of times it isn't. In fact, most of the times I don't think it is. But there's your conflict. There's your conflict to deal with. But it's so tough. It's hard. I don't know how I'm going to do it. Are you here right now? Are you in church right now? Yeah. Well, you made it so far. I think of that movie like 20 years ago. It's kind of cheesy. Alive. You guys remember that movie, Alive? There's this one scene. It's Ethan Hawke. I don't remember the guy's name, but Ethan Hawke and the other guy. And they're in the snow. They're walking. They're, you know, I think they're trying to go get supplies or something from the other part of the plane. And the other guy is just like, oh, I can't take another step. He's like on his knees. I can't do this. I'm not going to make it. And Ethan Hawke says, get up, take one more step. Let me see you take one more. And he drags him and he starts taking steps. The point is, you can take one more step. If you're still here, you could still take another step. And I'm a firm believer with just my own life experience that there's always an answer. There's always one more step I could take. When you get bad news or when you experience something negative, there's always an answer. Let's take it back to our story here in Genesis 6. If you think about it, you have sons of God and you have the Nephilim, right? The giants. From our perspective, that sounds like the end. Wow, you've got them all. There's no way to compete. There's no gun I can make to compete against sons of God. What do you use against, you know, celestial entities? I mean, what do you do with that? How do you shoot a spirit? What do you do with it? You can't. You can't. So game over for me. God had to step in. There's no way around that. All that to say is God brought an answer. There's always an answer with God. Every time there's an answer with God. The question is, will you trust that? And back here's some faith talk, if you will. Do you have faith in God to that extent that no matter what I'm experiencing, conflict-wise, that there is an answer? And what if, and this is an extreme case, what if the answer is part of this, some violence? What if there's some violence that you've got to experience? And let's go emotionally, let's go spiritually. What if some spiritual tackling, some spiritual fighting that you've got to experience within? Sometimes with God. What are you going to do with that one? You'll do that. You know why? Because you're human. And you're going to try to approach God with your own logic, right? With your own mind. And God, I don't see why you would do that. Well, walk his way. And even, God forbid, if you get a stroke and you're wheelchair ridden, you'll smile about it and say, man, this is the best thing that ever happened to me. All perception, right? Conflict. So let's see here. Let's go to verse 11. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. How do you deal with that? We already talked about that. Verse 12, God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Imagine getting a message like that. Here's your battle, right? Here's your battle with yourself, because everything about you wants to persevere and preserve yourself. And then God gives you a message like that. What do you do with that one? Now, I don't think we're going to get a message like that. Clearly, that's done. We've got the rainbow. We understand what the rainbow is for. So we're not going to have an issue like that again. But what is your message? Let's go there. What's the message that God gives you? This kind of message, right? Your version, God giving you a message of this type of magnitude in your own life. Because he's giving us a message like this all the time. And it might be the same message over and over because it's that tough. And maybe it's going to take you the 100 years just like it took Noah. So what? It doesn't matter how long it takes you. But will you struggle with it? That's okay. The key is, will you walk your faith? Will you walk as Noah did? How was he seen again? Righteous in the sight of God. Will you walk your walk? See, this is tough. It's tough because it's all conflict. Who wants to deal with conflict? Raise your hand. Exactly. Nobody. Nobody. But you'll always have conflict. You'll even have conflict with God. You have to. In fact, you better, because you're human and you're not God and you don't understand and we don't understand God fully. But he gets us fully. He understands us and he knows what you can handle. Deal with your conflict. Face your conflict. It's hard. It's tough. And look, God forbid, but if we have to go to the point of violence, and we have in this country, and you guys, and many of you guys know even personally that violence through war was totally necessary, and you guys probably even have family who've, you know, been part of that. Man, this freedom isn't free. You know, you guys know that saying, but it took violence. But what about in the spiritual sense? What if we got to go there? If we take it off the table, we will lose sight of God. No other way to look at it. God is loving, yes. He's merciful, yes. He's also just. And that justice, well, there might be some violence in there. I'm concerned about the church, but I'm not concerned about the church, if you understand what I'm saying. I'm concerned because I know where it's going. It's falling apart. It's not going to get any better. How did Dr. Gene Scott say it? Cheer up, folks. It's going to get worse. I think that's the way he would say it. And it's so true. It's just going to get worse. Part of it, I think, is when we take violence off the table, especially we as Christians. Again, I'm not saying let's go and be violent. You understand what I'm saying? Let's not go and be violent. Let's not go and hurt people. But if you're going to bring me a problem, if you're going to bring me pure evil, I've got to do anything I have to preserve, especially preserving God's honor, God's name, God's church. I mean, whatever it takes, right? I think that's key here, but we'll continue from there.
Thank you for listening to today's message. 2 Corinthians 9:7 tells us that each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. If this message has been a blessing to you, we ask that you be a cheerful giver to this ministry by going to finallyalive.com/give. We'll meet you again next time as we grow together and learn to be finally alive in Christ.